Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Four Tims in a Podcast. This episode is brought to you by footballprizes.co.uk. This week's football prize competition for Celtic fans is a fantastic signed Lubo Maravčić shirt. If you go in there, you'll be able to enter, and if you use our code TIMS10, you'll get 10% off. Last time I looked, there was only about between 10 and 15 tickets left, and that draw ends on Wednesday the 3rd of May at 7:30, so you'll need to be quick if you want to be involved in that. But thanks to Football Prizes for their continued support of the podcast, and keep an eye out on their site for more great Celtic prizes. Cheers. Hello and welcome to another episode of Four Tims in a Podcast. You join us on Tuesday the 2nd of May. We've had a few days to recover from another Hampden success for Celtic as they defeated their Glasgow rivals Rangers 1-0. It was their Portuguese superstar Jota who headed in the first half to give us the only goal of the game, which sees Celtic progress to another Scottish Cup final as they look to secure another trophy. And with the league basically in the bag, it gives Celtic a great chance to win a treble, where they'll be up against lower league opposition in the form of Inverness, who beat Falkirk in the other semi-final on Saturday. But get right into it, Tony. It was, again, no the greatest of spectacles in these derby games. I think it was a tight affair, which a lot of people predicted. What did you make here, and how delighted are you for Celtic to have reached another Hampden final?
The other two as well, go and mess about for a bit. I've even taken notes for this one. I'll tell you, I've got my three notes written down, and I'll get through them at some point. First note simply reads, Cantwell playing up to thick cunt. Second one reads, Huns knows we're overtaking their trophy count. And then the third one reads, Nazi cunts. But we'll get to it on in due course. So, delighted to win that game. A huge game, massive pressure, a chance to win the treble. We obviously faltered at this point in the season last year when we played them. They beat us 2-1 in extra time. Ironically, it was Sakala that got the winner. He played his part big time again, but not for Rangers. I didn't think it was a great game once again. I thought it was really similar to the League Cup final, whereby the time wasted in the first half. I thought we were okay. I thought Starfelt again was really good, same as the Cup final. So Vickers was great. Obviously, his season's now over, and I think we can thank him, and he's probably got a really good shout of being our player of the year. I think he's the best defender in Scotland by quite a distance. thought Jota, again, he's such a big game player. He's done it time and time again now. He's done it in Europe, and now he's done it against them for, I think, maybe the fourth goal against them this season. That may be incorrect, but I don't really care. He scored, didn't he? The goal's hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious. And if Celtic had conceded that goal to give Rangers a treble, I think I would have combusted. Firstly, it's a shambolic bit of refereeing not to give Matt O'Reilly the foul, and he's not playing an advantage. You watch that back. Don Robertson starts moving back up the pitch. I seen somebody on Twitter, I don't know who it is, apologise, don't know if they listen, and they says it was Don Robertson's Bobby Tate moment, where he's basically cheated a bit to help them, and it's bit him right in the arse. Made as the only one alert. I think the guy, Risk Iniesta, is just stunning watching it. Bernabeu, he's just stunning about, made a pounces on it. It's a great ball in. Jota's movement's fantastic. And the Hall of Famer, Captain Tav, Super Tav, 100 goals Tav, has fell asleep. And I think that's been the story of that guy Tav in his kind of Rangers career for 7 years. I think apart from McGregor and Forrest, he's probably been around for more Celtic trophies than fucking any cunt. So just comical stuff for them, and just delightful for us to get that goal. The halftime show is brilliant. And second half, I didn't think we were great. They obviously came into it a bit. They hit the post, and that guy Sakala, I mean, he was trying to play up to their fans calling us the other mob. And that's all right. See, if you've won treble after treble, or you've dominated for so long, I stick the boot in and gloat a bit. That guy's done absolutely nothing really a note. And to then miss two sitters in two huge games, it's just hilarious. It just sums him up at kind of recent times. Todd Cantwell, who I actually thought had a decent game, but I think he's realised they're fucking daft. These guys support them, they'll buy into it, and I'll fucking tee them up and I'll get away with it when we get beat, or I'll prevent somebody having a drink of juice. And seen people on Twitter going, oh, he gets it, and he obviously realised they're fucking mental cases and gone, I can get away with the criticism for them. So I found it quite funny. I mean, the fact that Morelos then gave Hitati a drink, I thought he's obviously on the same page, but just madness. But oh, again, when O came on, I thought Adam Moy was tremendous, by the way. When he came on, I thought he was back to his best. Thought he was great, really, really good. A really calming presence. Thought Awat was fine, thought Haksabanovic was fine. And I thought, again, we seen the game out reasonably comfortable, apart from the Sakala one. I don't remember them having any other chances. Arfield did a shot inside the box. I thought Hart saved it quite easily. And then I think Sakala had one out for a shy. And another one, I think the ball might still be in orbit. So they done with the day. They just put loads of balls into the box, and we defended very resolute. I thought Joe Hart was good. I thought when the boss came into the box, he was coming out punching. Whereas I thought their keeper was dreadful. Every time the ball went to Alan McGregor, either went out for a shy or just went right up in the air for a second ball to be won. He's pretty hopeless now. but no, I was delighted to win, and I think we will win the treble. I know that's hardly a big shock to say that, but it's credit to the manager and his staff and the players of. They never stop. but it was mother note. I was right next to them when we were full time, and I was just looking at some of their faces, and I'm going, Jesus, you sat and watched the 9-0 era when he were spending money he didn't have, and fucking putting big posters up about comparing titles, and you could just see in their face that they know that it's going to be more. 114 trophies, it's going to be more, as the banner says. And I just thought, get it right fucking round, jeez. I was just looking, going, you horrible bastards. The stuff you sing about and celebrate, I thought, fucking hell, fucking kick it into you. So it was just great to watch. Watch him kind of just heads down, slithering at the stadium as we partied, and It's delightful. And I think obviously the world's most successful club, that banner's, they've got the banners stuck up in the stadium, and they're gonna need to come down, which is just, it's wonderful. Couldn't it happen to a more horrible fucking club, to be totally honest. I mean, fucking, who goes to the football with a fucking flag with a Nazi symbol on it? I mean, what is wrong with these folk? Now, I'd like to think if you were walking up a Celtic end and you seen somebody with a fucking Nazi flag, that somebody would give them a dunt in the face. But no, that obviously doesn't happen at their end. So it's just great. You know, you're beating the fucking, you're beating the bad guys. That's me being nice about them. But no, just fucking great. Michael Beale come up here and he's done nothing but fucking talk utter shite. And actually, I think he has made them harder to beat. By the way, I do think he has closed the gap. I know, I think he's closer to his than Broncos was, but he's not done anything significant or anything. He was still, they're still going to win nothing, but he's talked some shite. And I was glad to see Ange finally address his lucky comments and kind of show them up for the absolute nonsense they were. So, the next five games in the league, party time for us. Enjoy it. It'll come in and go really quickly, but we've done so well to be in a position where our players have been just fantastic. Our manager's been fantastic. The fans were fucking class again. And I think it's just enjoy the next month in the lead up to the Scottish Cup final, and hopefully we can go and put on a major show. But no, just as you can tell, I'm buzzing. I don't know how long I've been fucking babbling on for, probably long enough. So great.
Hi, Danny, I'll bring you in. What was your thoughts on it? As Tony says, it was a sort of, yet again, pretty similar to the last couple of games where there wasn't much in it. But what was your thoughts on it?
Well, there's nothing really to say now, is there? Tony said it all, and he's got it all 100% right. Be delighted if we can go on and win the treble, but I must admit, Inverness is the one team I don't want to be playing in the Scottish Cup. Fucking hate Inverness in the Scottish Cup. It's been bad to his ears, but Sunday was another good afternoon. It was another good day out, shall we say. I thought we started the game quite slowly, but it's odd because me and you have had this conversation before, Darren, on and off the pod, but we've spoken about how the first 10 minutes usually kind of set the tone for these games, and whisper it, but I thought they were quite good in the first 10 minutes, and I was kind of worried that it was going to be, that was the way it was going to go, but I thought the longer the first half went on, the better we got, and the more our players switched on, I don't think Hattati was match fit, or even close to it. I thought it was a big gamble, be honest, to bring him in, and don't want to say it didn't work, because we won and we went through, but I thought he was kind of playing out the game, I thought he was kind of playing out the game a bit. And then, but longer the first half, when we get better, and we kind of started to get McGregor on the ball and O'Reilly on the ball with space, and the goal was coming when it came. There's no doubt about that. The goal was definitely coming when it came. And as Tony said, it was hilarious. And it all starts for really us getting a free kick and Kent turning his back on the ball. And it was kind of like Jota's goal in the 4-0 game where he play a quick free kick to O'Reilly and O'Reilly runs on. But none of them react, and then Raskin just fouls O'Reilly, like, blatantly. And yet everybody stops. Tony's right. Robertson's walking away because he just expects somebody to clear it up the other end of the park. And then, bizarrely, nobody moves apart from Maeda. Where have we seen that before? He's, you know, he's a workhorse. And the cross is brilliant. The cross is world class. He's dug a cross out, stretching that away, running away for himself. And, you know, they've still not woken up because Tavernier's just walked. I don't know what he's done. And Jota, actually, was very drunk when the goal went in. So I thought the ball was actually on Jota's head, but it was a nice surprise when it thundered by the keeper. And I think you've seen the celebrations. I think Jota fairly enjoyed his goal. But I just thought it was the first half, and I thought the second half was going to carry on. Like, I thought we'd go on and win by two or three by that point. But to be fair, we kind of sat off them in the second half a lot. I was kind of surprised, as if we just picked a spot in the 18-yard line and says they'll no cross this. And Carter Vickers, Starfield, were outstanding. Fought Carter Vickers was fucking colossus, and he's doing that with a serious injury as well. Joe Hart had a great game. Fought Johnson until he went off, played really well. Taylor had a good game as well, and it's all the pressure they had. And I say that in inverted commas. They had a lot of territory, but I never thought. Like, at the time, we were saying in the pub, like, you're just waiting on them scoring because the way that we were sitting after them. But they didn't really create anything. I mean, I know they had the post, and then Sakala should have scored again, and he missed an all-open goal. But it wasn't like the 2019 Betfred final, where it was just fucking wave after wave, shot on target after shot on target. They didn't cut us open. Or, you know, their best chance came for a shot from outside the box, which, you know, fell back to one of their players. Hart never really had a good save for Arfield, but McGregor had a good save for Kyogo in the second half as well. So it wasn't as if we were getting bombarded. It was just we seemed to have settled in the goal and just kind of seen it out. I agree with Tony. I thought Moy was really good when he came on. Cam just done a wee bit of a water. First thing he did was put the ball at the park like he did in the League Cup final. But he actually did settle in and he shored us up a wee bit. But Moy was good. It was good to see Moy like that again because he looked so far off the pace in the 3-2 game. So it was good to see Moy back to that kind of classy way that he knows. Haksabanovic, I actually felt quite sorry for him because he had a great run. And he just played a really bad pass when he actually should have just went for goal. But he did well carrying the ball. And we needed that because Jota, I thought, was very good. Maeda was good. But we needed somebody to start carrying the ball at the park. And Haksabanovic was good at that. I thought Kyogo was quiet, but he's always a danger. And Ben Davis must be absolutely terrified because that's the second cheap shot he's had in as many games. But, you know, we're going to be playing for a treble now. It's got to be 5 out of 6. And look what we were 2 years ago today. I mean, 2 years ago today, we just finished a pod where the 4 years just basically shouted at we're in laptops for about an hour. Getting on about some guy called Eddie Howe Ed New Lennon. And look where we are now. We're going to hopefully make it 5 out of 6 trophies. And in the space of about 8 or 9 weeks, we've completely ended Rangers' season. And it doesn't get much better than this, does it? I mean, it's just great. It's great. And do you know what we deserved? Sunday, we deserved to beat them because last year, we fucked up and lost that semi-final. We should really be going for a double treble. But I thought Sunday was really good. And just on the way things are going, Cantwell spent the whole game with his arse out to the Rangers fans. Couldn't he believe it? I mean, the guy done a no-look pass, like, in his own half when he had about 100 yards of space after 20 minutes. It was as if he couldn't quite, as if he didn't realise where he was. It just, you know, it was as if he was steaming, and he made a complete and utter arse himself. Kept leaving the fat end. Strategy of cheap shots at Celtic players, picked a bag up, denied to Tatty. I mean, that didn't bother me the way that some folk were going on about how nasty it was. No, I just thought it was fucking utterly pathetic and embarrassing and completely pointless. But after the game, it's all about how we need to build the team around him. He gets it. Is that really what matters to them? Do you know what I mean? Like, is that what they care about? Is people getting it? Is getting it that you're never going to be good enough to beat Celtic? And the praise for Beal after the game as well just completely shocked me. The way folk are talking about how he's tactically nullified Celtic. It's just mistakes that are undoing them. But so does that mean that they just want to play for mistakes against us? So if we don't make any mistakes, they'll no beat us. Is that all we need to do to avoid defeat against them? It's bizarre. And they seem to be consoling themselves that they've not been done 3 or 4 nothing. And I just think that's utterly pathetic. And they can't quite bring themselves to say that we're any good. you know, we were there for the taking and it's their mistakes and blah, blah, blah. But if that's their mentality, then good, because we'll just keep winning trophies and we'll keep winning leagues and our players will keep continuing to hurt them. And I just roll on the rest of the season. Now we've got, you know, got a big game on Sunday to win the league. And then it's just it's essentially a 5-week party, you know, until the cup final in a month. And it's what a time to be a Celtic fan.
Yep, definitely. It's a brilliant time. And as you say, from where we were 2 years ago today, it just seems a complete other world away. But Andy, what did you make it? Obviously, unfortunately for me, I had the first-hand experience of getting to know your thoughts at the game when we were standing next to each other while we were a few beverages done. But since then, have you had a chance to watch it back? And what's your thoughts on the game in general?
I had to watch it back again. Otherwise, there was absolutely no point in me coming on here because I couldn't fucking remember any of it. But I mean, if they don't want to cover all ground that the boys have already said, I found it weird as well watching their fall and their reaction for it, as Danny was saying. Like, it's just so funny that they just console themselves. Well, we never took a doing, so we're not really that bad or a shite. And I said before the game that I feel as if we've done that one too many times. Don't get me wrong, it's sweet to beat them like that, but it's quite tight, and they think they're going to get a bit of joy, and that just gets snatched away from them. But we've just got a right knack. They're now getting out and not really having to play that well to beat them, and we just keep doing it, and it really has fucking mentally broken them. I think we know that. We've seen that before, how fucking mentally fragile they are, that every single thing their manager talks about is us. I don't actually think I've seen him mention Rangers in a press conference once, but I thought we weren't great, but we didn't have to be. They were poor. And I think the goal I've seen quite a few videos and all the rest that go about on Twitter where people have dubbed her, obviously, Angie's We Never Stop or the Tap It. And I think it just sort of personifies everything about what he wanted today, what he wanted to build, and what we're trying to do. Like, they all stop. Generally, like, fucking their entire team stops, and we just keep going, and you see the joy you get out of it. And then it wasn't a back post Barisic this time, it was back post Tav. That's just nowhere when Jota comes in. Great, great cross, great header. But I mean, aside for that, I don't think there was many guilty chances in the game. The only one I've seen Sakala's miss again. And I didn't notice how bad it was at the game, but fucking hell, that's up there with all the ones Morelos used to chuckle week in, week out against us. That's one of the worst ones I've seen. There's a still image, and I genuinely have got no idea if he's not hit a target, at least. But I thought that it was just a shite myself at the game, as you well know, Dan, and you date these things, especially with a 1-0 and any time they've got the ball. But it was unfortunate we obviously lose Johnston through an injury. Thought Ralston came on, done all right. We know he's obviously a limited player on the ball, but he tried his heart out and he's seen us through. And then obviously we make the three subs 10 minutes or whatever later. And I've got to agree, I thought Moy came on and done well, sort of settled the game down. And now, you know what you're getting with him already, just to calm things down and sort of keep us ticking over. And I thought they'd done that. But it's a bit non-eventful, really, in the whole second half. There wasn't really any, as I say, massive guilty chances, but as time went on, you just felt as if they weren't going to score the longer it went on. I just got that impression that they weren't cutting us open. They weren't, sort of, you weren't battening down the hatches and saying, right, we'll see this out, and screaming to get the ball in the corner with 10 minutes to go or anything like that. The longer run, as I said, I probably said to you at the game, Dan, I just felt more and more confident that they were really rotten across the front, to be honest. I mean, I think it said everything when they took Kent off at half time. He was being their poster boy for long enough, and he's getting ripped off at half time in a semi final for fucking fashion Sakala. So that says everything you need to know about the state that they're in. But it's funny watching and listening to it now, because they've convinced themselves once again that we aren't that good. But I don't know how, considering we're a touch wood, obviously, we've got Land Cup in the bag. We're about to see it at the league, and we've got a cup final to go against. And I agree with you, funny, I agree with you as well, Dan. The fucking one team I wouldn't want to Inverness, because I feel as if they bastards are haunted against us at times. But they'll convince themselves that a treble win inside aren't they that good. But that's on them, because no doubt you'll go into the season again. They'll probably still have McGregor in goals. They'll still have Michael Beale in the dugout, making up every fucking excuse and every second word that he's with Celtic. But they'll continue to be losers that they always have been. And to be honest, it's fucking glorious to watch. So long may it continue.
Aye, definitely. I think, like, you have all covered quite a lot, but I just generally, I'm along the same lines. Obviously, I was with you at the game at Hampden on Sunday, and then it was, as Danny said, I actually think that we didn't start too well. It was, they had a shot that I think was deflected wide for a corner, and it was a bit scrappy, but I thought the middle of the first half went, we sort of grew into it, and I know, like, none of you have mentioned it so far, but I thought Don Robertson was an absolute disgrace, like, and just not even with a goal, but in general, after 2 minutes, he lets Lundstrom go completely, and he gave a foul, but to not even produce a card for that when he follows through and could have caused a real injury, like, I thought it was a potential red, never mind a yellow. And, like, it sort of set the tone for the game. Like, even seeing Tillman, who he got injured trying to do something, and then, as was mentioned, Cantwell just constantly leaving the boot in. Like, I think he's just talentless as they come. Like, I think the sort of real, like, the fans in their support that have sort of put two and two together and realised that guys like Lundstrom and Sakala, who last season they were loading up, and even this season when they were loading up Sakala for laughing when he was diving for penalties and calling as the other mob, and praising Lundstrom when he was walking out staring at people at Celtic Park, getting on the bus after another defeat. It was like they're sort of realising that these guys are just terrible football players, and I think that Cantwell's going to be the next one. I think all he does is seem to G up the fans, and, like, as Danny said, he's got a stupid no-look pass, and he seems to be fond of that wee thing where when he's near the byline, he'll do a wee back heel to win a throw-in, and apart from that, I've not seen anything for him to suggest that they've got anything to sort of combat what we're doing at the moment. And if they want to build a team around him, then for once I'm in agreement with him. I'd be quite happy if they built a team around somebody like Todd Cantwell, because I think he's as bad as they come. I thought in general Celtic were pretty good. Like, we're really resilient in terms of, like, we didn't play to our utmost best, and they probably had merit of the ball and merit of the pressure, but we just, from the forward line back the way, we just defended so well, like, all the way from Kyogo to Maeda, Jota, and all the way back to guys like Carter Vickers and stuff. Well, I thought we just really snuffed them out, and, like, it was sort of pot shots they were having from outside the box. And like, I thought somebody I've been really critically for probably the last 3-4 months has been Matt O'Reilly, but I thought Matt O'Reilly was the best midfielder on the park on Sunday. I thought that Cal McGregor gave the ball away quite a few times, which was really unlike him, and a couple of times it was in a sort of dangerous area. And I thought Hatate just didn't look match fit. He was just nowhere near what you know you can get from him. So I thought O'Reilly really stood up on Sunday and justified his selection. And Jota as well, I don't know if he went straight from the Brazen Heat to Hampden, but he's just bombed for these games. He's another one who they're absolutely petrified when they see him on the park. And the goal itself, like, I know Jota doesn't score many headers, but as it says, the fact that it wasn't given as a foul, like, in the first place, was just, it was scandalous. And I know Matt O'Reilly was out today saying that Robertson even says to him that it probably was a foul, and then tried to justify it by saying IB scored after it. But it's, as we say, there's no indication that an advantage was played, and he's gone the other way, so it's just a complete cop-out for him. And it probably wasn't even the worst decision they have, because Borna Barisic, who got booked in the first half, like, there was two occasions separately in that first half when there was one that was a deliberate handball, which for some reason he didn't get booked for, despite being penalised for it, and it was the most deliberate thing you've ever seen. And then just on the stroke of half time, he completely dives to try to win a penalty as well. And the fact that none of these were punished, like, they should have been down to 10 men, and the cost of that to Celtic has been that early in the second half he goes in and he does not as bad as the Tillman one, but him and Alistair Johnson go in flying to each other, and Alistair Johnson ends up on crutches, and that shouldn't happen if the player's been sent off, which in my opinion he should have been. Second half, I thought we sort of lost a bit of our sort of shape when Johnston came off, because I thought Johnston was up there with O'Reilly in terms of the best Celtic player on the pitch. And Ralston, I know he's not played a lot since this season in general, but definitely since the World Cup, he's barely featured. Like, I thought he was all right, he contributed in bits, but they seemed to target him down the left. And to be fair, Ralston, he did put Cantwell on his arse, so that was something he brought to the game. But as you say, there's never really any panic with this team, man. Like, when Ange first came in, you were sort of told, oh, it's got to be kamikaze football and you're going to be winning 4-3 and 5-4 every week. Whereas, like, that's another game where you weren't worried about, like, the constant sort of goal threat for them. And I think performances like that, sort of, I don't think Rangers are much in opposition at the moment, but that's the type of performance we're going to need in, like, Europe next year if we want to progress, where we can go and withstand bits of pressure for longer periods of time than we do in the league. And I think Beale's all over the place. I think we've been sort of speaking it in the group chat, but I think that if we go to Ibrox in 2 weeks' time and give him a right down, I think there'll be people really starting to question him. He came in and we were told he was the brains behind Gerrard. They were the ones that toppled Celtic and when we were going for 10. And then he was out saying there's nothing between the squads. And then you were told there's no gap between the points since he came in. And now, obviously, he was talking about beating Celtic, being lucky as well. And now, after this game, he's talking about them needing the biggest rebuild they've had in years. So I think that he's a two Bob Cockney. And the fact that the way he even got the job sort of sums him up, I think, because he was floating about Rangers pubs and sitting in the director's box while they had a manager in place. And I think he was probably on the brink of the sack at QPR, and that's why he came up here and done that. And they sort of forced him to sack a manager who'd got them to a European final about 6 months before it. But I think he'll soon be found out as well. And the biggest compliment I can sort of pay this Ange team is it's sort of similar to Roy, I felt when Brendan Rodgers was here, and I know he was at Hampden on Sunday, much to some people's delight and some people's horror. But I feel the same way about a Celtic team, where I think that as long as Ange is there, I can't see us not taking a trophy. And I know we might have an off day, we obviously had one last season against him, but with how far any Ange's project we are now, I just think that there's no real way that we should be really drop meeting, because I think we're just a mile above and it's sort of coming towards us at the moment. And it's like we get the league wrapped up on Sunday, hopefully, and then we've got time to prepare for the Scottish Cup final and to see us lifting our league trophy. But Andy, I'll bring you back in. The only, as I said there, the only coronation we are interested in this weekend is the coronation of Celtic as the Premiership champions again. What are you expecting from this game at Tynecastle? It's obviously, it's sort of been in the bag for a few weeks now, but it's the time that this Celtic team can officially crown themselves champions again.
Obviously, you know what they're going to be like. Tynecastle has been a hard place for us to go in the past. You know they're going to be out to try and spoil that. Obviously, they bagged their manager and picked it up. I think it was 6-1, they beat Ross County, so they're obviously scoring goals. And I think they will make it difficult, but I don't know. I've just got this feeling that we're going to be fucking rampant for now until the end of the season. And I mean, we've been rampant all season, but what I mean in terms of, I think we're just going to start blowing teams away. Once again, I don't know of any rhyme or reason as to why. And I mean, if you'd watched us against Motherwell, you'd think I was half one up with that. But I've just got something in mind. I think there'll be a bit of irritation as well. Obviously, Johnston's going to be out, Carter Vickers, so you're going to see Ralston come back in, you're going to see Kobayashi, sort of, you would assume he's going to get through now until the end of the season. I've just got this feeling that we're just going to be completely and totally rampant, and I think that starts at Tynecastle. I think we're going to go take a few goals after them and just sort of see the remainder of this season out. And I think there'll be players there who are sort of wanting to take that opportunity. I mean, Kobayashi will be looking at it saying, well, if I go in and sort of lay my marker, then that's me maybe settling into the team for the future. So that when Carter Vickers comes back, he might obviously want to be looking to try and be his partner there. So I think we're going to be totally rampant and dominant. And I think that starts at Tynecastle. I think we'll go out and we'll take a few goals after them. I wouldn't be surprised to see them score as well. Just I fancy it to be an open game, but I don't think they're going to be sort of stamping on a parade at all. And we'll get the coronation that we're all after.
I certainly hope so. Tony, I'll bring you in. What are you expecting from Sunday? I know we've won the league a few times at Hearts, obviously. Remember in Rogers' season, we done it. And when Scott Sinclair scored the hat-trick that day to steal it at Tynecastle. What are you expecting from this game? Obviously, Andy's already mentioned guys like Kobayashi and Ralston probably be brought back in. Would you be making many more changes from Sunday?
I think that makes sense. I thought Kobayashi came on in the Scottish Cup quarterfinal against them, and he was great. So I'm quite happy for him to come in. And then Ralston coming in as well. He might make more changes. I think we're going to win quite handsomely. But there is a part of me at the back of my head going, I'd love to win at Ibrox because I think they would be on the pitch. But again, I don't know if players would be safe because they're absolutely mental. So, you know what? I think he'll do exactly what Roger's done. I think we'll win 5-0 on Sunday. I think we'll blow them away and we'll be champions again.
And Danny, what are you thinking about it? I know they've sort of says if there might be a few changes. I don't know about you, but I think Andrew probably be as close to full strength as we can on Sunday, just until the league's officially in the bag.
I mean, they obviously are looking at Kobayashi coming in for Carter Vickers, but apart from that, I'd imagine it'll be close to full strength. Maybe bring Moy in for Hattati if he's not quite there. But I think he'll go full strength. He'll want to win the league in style. It's the way he operates. And then once we win the league, he'll want to win every other game. 3, 4, 5, nothing he'll know. You might see in the last league game of the season, he might rest maybe a couple of boys for the cup final, but I highly doubt it with Andrew. I mean, he's just relentless, isn't he? And just to, don't want to stay on too long talking rubbish, but just what Andy said about the people playing dubbing over Ange, saying like we never stop for the Celtic goal, and it's happened a few times. It's just so poetic that we've scored a goal, that you can do that against them, that you can do that with the footage and the sound. Because how they laughed at us, and it was all this, you know, oh, look, Celtic are not going to stop, ha, ha, ha. And then, no, look at them. They really do wish we'd stop. And the same guys that, you know, had Postecoglou been out by Christmas and we're praying that somebody comes and takes them away from Celtic. It's just this poetic justice. And, I mean, all the goals we've scored against them this season, every goal we've scored against them is great. But I genuinely think the last 3 or 4... well, games that we've played against them, every goal's been kind of just has been a kind of indication and a justification of Postecoglou's FIFA principles, and it's absolutely brilliant. And long may it continue. But aye, for Sunday, I think he'll go full strength, and I'm a wee bit like Tony. I do think they'll score a few goals. It was a really good performance in the same the cup quarter final at Tynecastle, and I think he'll probably. We'll be probably looking at hopefully something similar to that again, because Celtic were awesome that day, and we were really good in the 4-3 game at Tynecastle as well. We just get caught up in a bit of a mad game, thankfully got away with 3 points in the end. But I can see that being a really, really good performance. And Hearts, I know they won 6-0 last week against Ross County, but they've been kind of on about a slippery slide, and they've obviously changed their manager and stuff. So hopefully we can just continue to pile on the agony for them and get the league wrapped up as soon as possible, and then you can just start looking forward to the Scottish Cup final and one last trip to Ibrox.
Aye, definitely. I think it's going to be a place. I think you're right. I think Andrew's going to want to seal the title in style. I think there isn't really that sort of setting gear with Andrew. Like, it's just fully focused on performing in the most attacking, like, stylish way that he can. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if there was a few changes just in terms of, like, guys like Moy and obviously Hatate. I think I know some people, including myself, thought he was off the boil. But I think now's the sort of perfect time to game games and get him match fit for the cup final, because I think I didn't mention it when I was speaking about the game, but I think that's maybe just what Aaron Moy was missing in the 3-2 game, because I thought on Sunday when he came off the bench, I thought he was absolutely magnificent and really important to help us see out the game. So I think if you can even get guys like Moy and Hatate in the team, and obviously Jota's just back from a few weeks out as well, it just gives you a chance to get these guys really up to scratch and make sure they're like fully fighting fit for the cup final at the start of June. And I think once we do get the League One and we get the Ibrox game out of the way, I wouldn't be surprised if we then seen a wee bit more rotation with guys like Rocco Vatta and Ben Summers and maybe a few other guys from the B team getting a bit of a call up and some game time. But until then, I think it's completely possible that we just keep going full strength. Like, the squad's that strong that it's hard to tell when we're no full strength. And I think you're right. I think Ross County are just a poor team, and Hearts doing them, like, their budget's much bigger and they've got a much better squad. So I think you're sort of expecting them to give Ross County a down when they play them at Tynecastle. So I think that I wouldn't need too much out of that. And the fact that Stephen Naismith's now their interim manager just makes me want to go there and rub it in a bit more and put on a performance. I know what Tony's saying. I think in the dream scenario, like, we would have had the Ibrox game first and we could have won it there. But I think even if we had a drop points, there's every chance that Barry Robson's Aberdeen will go and take something at Ibrox and we'll be champions anyway. But you can't worry about that, because they're obviously 45 minutes behind us on Sunday. So I think we just go and do our job and see how deflated they are at half time when they hear that we've won 5 or 6-0, hopefully. But I've heard Andy and Tony's predictions. Danny, did you give an actual prediction? What's your score prediction?
I never gave an actual prediction. I'll just say 4-1, and I think Kyogo will get a hat trick and O will get fourth.
I think it'll be similar. I'll go for 4-0. I think that Kyogo had one saved on Sunday, but apart from that was quite quiet. I think he'll respond by hitting a double. He obviously got on the score sheet there in the Scottish Cup, so I think he'll want to do the same again. And I think that Jota and O will get the other goals and we'll be crowned champions, and we'll be on here next week celebrating Celtic as the 2-in-a-row league champions, and looking forward to the rest of the post-split fixtures as we go forward. But if you've made it this far, thank you very much for listening. Keep an eye on PodTims for all the stuff coming from the podcast, and we will speak to you next week. Cheers.
7 on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.